is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Federal Reserve, always a focus for Wall Street when it's meeting and when it's not meeting. What is it going to do? Looking at the sky, looking at the stars, reading signs on your way to work in the morning. What happens today? One of my favorite metrics for the Federal Reserve back in the days before the internet was whether Alan Greenspan, he was then the chair, was coming to work with a thick briefcase or a thin briefcase. That was said to mean one thing or the other. I can't remember how. So I go to Joseph Sternberg. He's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics. And with the happy distance of the Atlantic Ocean, he's looking at the Federal Reserve asking what is to be done. Joe, a very good evening to you. You ask the provocative question, how do you solve a problem like the Federal Reserve? I was taught many years ago, first you have to admit you have a problem. Have we done that part, Joe? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Only partly are we admitting there's a problem. So the problem we're talking about here is I think that people have realized over the past 15 years since the financial crisis in 2008, and especially over the past couple years when the Fed presided over the worst inflation America has seen in 40 years, we've discovered that what these obscure bureaucrats most people had never really heard of before do, what they do has a huge impact on our daily lives. And I think that it is natural then for people to ask, well, how can we hold them accountable when they make big mistakes like this huge screw up with inflation over the past couple of years? And unfortunately, right now, the answer is there isn't much that you can do because the Fed was set up as a largely independent agency with very little political accountability. And that was supposed to be a good thing. The theory was that you would, that monetary policy, that the currency, interest rates, price stability was so important that you couldn't trust it to the vicissitudes of normal electoral politics, that you had to have these, sort of politically insulated, wise people making these decisions. And we've actually discovered that you can't assume that they're necessarily wise because they have made a lot of mistakes over the past couple of decades and over the past couple of years. When they do make those mistakes, people want to feel like there's some kind of accountability, and yet there isn't. There's no way to vote them in or out of office. There's no way for the people who we do vote into office in Congress or the White House to change personnel if the people at the Fed have made mistakes. So I think this is emerging as a big problem that people are paying attention to because you are living with the consequences of Fed mistakes anytime you go to the supermarket, try to put gas in your car, try to buy a house.
There is the question in your column that legitimacy has been raised about the Federal Reserve and that debate is underway. How far along is that debate? Because it would be a blow to the institution if America were to turn its back.
Well, it is interesting that there is a debate starting about this because for such a long time, the prevailing orthodoxy was that central banks were too important to be politicized, that they ought to be completely insulated from political interference. And yet now, all of a sudden, over the past year or two, we've got three different proposals starting to float around out there for things that you could do. I mean, there's one proposal from a couple scholars at the Manhattan Institute think tank that suggests that actually you need to do an overhaul of the composition of the Federal Open Market Committee, the policy setting board that actually determines interest rates, that you need to put more control in the hands of the group of 12 Federal Reserve banks, which are these regional entities that have a better sense of what's actually going on out in the countryside. There was a different competing proposal that said you should go the other direction, that you should centralize more authority in Washington, but make it more accountable to Congress. And that was a proposal, perhaps not surprisingly, by some Republican senators in late 2022. And then you've got a third proposal from a fellow named Tom Hanek, who is a well-known former Reserve Bank president himself from the Kansas City Fed, who's saying, well, actually, the Congress should get a say after 6 months on any really unusual or radical policies that the Fed undertakes. So, you know, that idea is, you know, instead of worrying about who is making the decisions, focus on accountability and oversight of the decisions that they make. And I think that, you know, whether you agree with any of these individual proposals, they all have strong points or weak points. The key argument here is that actually this is all too important to be completely free of some form of accountability or oversight.
I'm not certain that I've read an explanation from the Federal Reserve, or should have, as to the mistake they made in 2022. And now the grave concern, especially by people supporting the president's reelection, is the Federal Reserve will make the grave mistake in the other direction and push us into a recession or something near to over these weeks. Has the Federal Reserve acknowledged the mistake that it made and made at least an attempt to say we won't do it again? Anything like an apology, Joe?
No. And that, again, I think is something that is going to fuel political calls for more institutional accountability here, because we haven't, you know, if you think back to early 2021 or, you know, into later that year, the argument was that this inflation was transitory, that it would kind of take care of itself, that it was just a result of supply chain disruptions after the pandemic or one-off factors. And, you know, they didn't entirely pull that theory out of the air. That was what their models were telling them. And I think that what we have discovered over the past couple of years is that the economy behaves in ways that the Federal Reserve spreadsheets, that its models of the economy, don't necessarily predict very well. And so they need to have a conversation about that and some political accounting and explanation to the public of what went wrong and what they're going to do to keep it from happening in the future. Because, as we saw, I mean, those bad spreadsheets become the basis for policy decisions and errors that have a big impact on people's pocketbooks and their household budgets and their grocery and their gas bills. And we've never really had an explanation. You've had a couple of Fed officials here and there who start nibbling around the edges of one, but it isn't really obvious that there's been a serious sit down to explain, you know, maybe this was more than just an accident. Maybe there was a serious intellectual error here somewhere.
And the question of the Federal Reserve being an independent institution. To my knowledge, the other independent institution is the Supreme Court, which is also under political pressure all the time. So the idea of democratizing the Fed is not alien to me, but I look at nations where the central bank does what it's told. That would be Turkey, would be an extreme example of that. That doesn't sound like something that's going to be accepted easily, Joe, to have it accountable in that fashion to political voices.
Well, again, I think that Turkey example is always sort of what people had in mind when they were saying that central banks should be free of political interference in the first place. The danger was that then the politicians would exert influence on the central bank to create a lot of inflation in service of other policy goals. And, you know, that is a concern. I think that you actually have some Democratic senators who have been very critical of the Federal Reserve right now. Actually, if you dig into it, sort of would like the Fed to go down that path a little bit too. But what I think is more interesting is that we're really discovering that maybe voters are smarter than some of these theories give them credit for, because it turns out the voters have, in the U.S., have a very low tolerance for the kind of inflation that the conventional theory thought that voters and politicians would kind of like, whereas it was the Federal Reserve itself that had a much higher tolerance for an inflation and allowed that inflation to run for much longer than voters and elected politicians were satisfied with. So it might also be that some of our assumptions about the incentives at work here and what the voters actually want and the kind of mistakes that voters would make, if there is more democratic accountability for monetary policy, some of those assumptions might actually be a little bit backward.
One detail, the dot plot. It makes it into a game. Right now, the dot plot is pointing to three cuts The word promised is used all the time. Three cuts promised by the end of the year. It makes it even more of a game. Is that in the Fed's interest to popularize its decision-making and not make it the way it used to be, oracles?
I think this whole business that we're doing about dot plots is profoundly unhealthy, because it's creating all of these feedback loops between the Fed and markets, which kind of end up hemming in both sides in ways that are not very predictable. And it also means that you have the Fed, which already has this political legitimacy problem brewing, now also being perceived to be leaning on markets or trying to steer markets in one direction or another without even actually making an official policy about anything. And so I think that that really makes this political problem much worse for the Fed, and they probably would be better off the less communicative they were.
So I just want to understand correctly. You believe the Fed right now is not satisfying any audience, not those who want interest rates cut, not those who believe in sticky inflation, not those who trust the way the Fed makes decisions. No one's satisfied. Is that correct, Joe?
Pretty much. I think that it's absolutely true. They've got this problem. You know, people don't understand how they're making decisions. They don't understand why they're making the decisions they're making. You know, people don't necessarily agree with the decisions. And this would actually be where it might be helpful for the Fed to have some kind of obvious political mandate from someone, because, you know, politicians are accustomed to having to make decisions all the time where everyone will end up unhappy. At least they enjoy some kind of mandate and legitimacy to do that.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg. He is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. We're going to go look at London inflation next, and especially at the grocery store, where the inflation is worse, I'm told, everywhere in America. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.